After Florida, the next site of early Spanish colonization in the U.S. was in the Southwest. The Spanish braved Mexico's northern deserts and crossed the Rio Grande, in many ways, for the same reason Mexican migrants make the trip today. They were in search of riches.
In order to understand the Spanish monarchy in the Americas, you've got to realize that they got lucky early.
Historian Felipe Fernandez Armesto.
They found gold in Hispaniola.
They assumed this would keep happening if they went north.
The next big thing was the discovery of this tremendously rich Aztec world.
The story begins with a black Spanish slave named Esteban de Dorantes. He was shipwrecked on the Texas coast while on a failed mission to explore Florida. Esteban ended up wandering the Southwest for many years. Before he died, he sent back reports about the legendary seven cities of Cibola. Cibola was rumored to be bigger than Tenochtitlan, the conquered Aztec capital, and covered in emeralds.
Because there had been a lot of great rich cities discovered in other parts of the Americas, that didn't seem all that weird or implausible.
Back in Mexico City, around the year 1540, would-be conquistadores set off in search of Cibola. They traveled as far as modern-day Kansas. The conquistadores found plenty of indigenous nations, the Pueblo, the Hopi, the Apache, but no emerald cities. Later, visitors stayed and started colonies in the hopes of claiming the vast North American interior for Spain. The first one was named Nuevo México, New Mexico, with its capital at Santa Fe. Okay, now fast forward a few hundred years.
A person will live in a city like San Antonio. He'll drive down a street named Guadalupe. He'll cross a river called Colorado. He'll go to a place called a rancho. He'll sit on a patio next to a corral, and he's going to eat barbacoa. And he's going to say, geez, I don't see the Mexican culture anywhere.
Meet Andres.
I'm Andres Tijerina, professor of history at Austin Community College.
Andres studies Tejano history.
The things we brag about the most in Texas, the things we're most proud, are the most Mexicano. I always say, if it were not for the Tejano, Texas would be Ohio.
The Anglo-Americans who were invited by Mexico to settle in Texas in the 1820s were farming people. But Texas was cattle country. And it was the Tejanos who brought cattle ranching to Texas.
What is more Texan than a cowboy? And that's the culture that Anglo-Americans have completely and so transparently internalized that they don't even see it in themselves.
Andres says the Americans didn't just take culture from the Tejanos. They took their land, their livelihood, and often their lives. In the years after Texas broke off from Mexico, Anglos began to take over the Hispanic-owned ranches.
A typical case, 20 men come on to a Tejano ranch that's been there for 150 years, the Martinez family. The newspaper account the next day says hordes of Anglos went on to the Martinez ranch and killed all the Martinez families, and now they live on their lands.
Andres collects these accounts in his work as a historian. Overall, says Andres, thousands of Tejanos were murdered for their land.
When we say ethnic cleansing, we don't want to talk about how the land between Victoria and Corpus Christi was cleansed ethnically, and that those biggest ranches that we brag about today, the big ranches of Texas, many of them don't have a transfer of title.
But this narrative, you don't hear it much in Texas. Instead, you hear about the Mexican army under Santa Anna, slaughtering brave Texan soldiers at the Alamo.
Hi-yip, Santa Anna, we're killing your soldiers below. Let men wherever they go, we'll remember the Alamo.
So the history is inverted, Andres says, and there's a reason for it. Say you're one of the ranchers who benefited from those land seizures.
When your kids go to college at the University of Texas, you don't want them learning about how you got the ranch that made them rich. It is in their vested interest to silence the history.
But little by little, the way Texas history is talked about might be changing.
We erected last year a monument that's called the Tejano Monument.
and we took a trip to Austin to see it.
So we are steps away from the front entrance at the Capitol in Austin.
The monument shows ordinary scenes from colonial Tejano life. A young woman named Jessica Quiroz walks by. She's shocked to see her Mexican heritage commemorated in such a public way.
Well, I'm surprised it's up here.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is part of Texas history, so it should be up there.
James Crisp is also a Texas historian. We ran into him at the monument.
Tell me what's going on right now. Just tell me.
Yeah, I get very emotional about this.
Because
for so long, these people were silenced, taken out of the history books, treated as if they didn't exist.
So many figures have been forgotten, says Crisp. For example, the Tejano leaders like Juan Seguin, who fought for Texas independence alongside the Anglos. Andres Tijerina says the statue is a statement.
That we're not going to be at the back of the bus. We're going to be at the front of the Capitol. And we're going to tell the Tejano story for all the thousands of little kids who tour that Capitol grounds. They're going to start with the story of the Tejano, because that's where Texas starts.
But it's not where our history lesson ends.
The stars at night.